You know, I got to do this right now. You two, come here. You two, come here. You two, come here. Come here. Right now. You two. Come here. Right. You're not in trouble. Don't worry. I'm not going to spray you with whipped cream. Put your hand in my right hand right here. This is what God told me to do. God told me to tell both of y'all, may you, look at me. Look at me. Don't look at the floor. May you possess 10 times more than you've ever touched at the offering bucket. In Jesus' name. Amen. You agree? Amen. Amen. How many of you want to possess 10 times more? I'm going to have everybody up here wanting to hand out money now. Can I be that girl? Can I take her place? Can I substitute? We don't care. Just don't get in an argument up here. Communion. Go ahead, guys. Go ahead. When all the kids are staying, remember, kids stay. Don't forget. Kids stay in here. Now, for those of you who are, you know, maybe you haven't been here when we do, we always do communion first of the month. We used to release the kids, but we don't do that anymore just because we don't have a lot of people like to stay in and take communion, and we're okay with that. That's fantastic. A lot of people, a lot of teachers like that are doing, that help with the kids ministry. A lot of times they want to take communion. So what we're going to do, what we've been started doing is leaving everybody in here during communion. So, by the way, if you got kids, you know, you don't have to be religious about this. Your kids don't have to take communion, you know. And if you don't agree, I've seen people don't even agree with communion sitting here and not take it. So if you don't agree with it, you know, that's up to you. But your kids, don't let your kids do it just because there's, you know, grape juice and crackers in the offering bucket. You know, if you're going to let them do it, you know, we're going to try to make sure they understand that what we're doing here is symbolic of something. It's not just a religious thing that we do. We only do it once a month, so we've decided to start leaving the kids in so that everybody can take communion. And by the way, we will need some help in the 2- and 4-year-olds today because the person that's supposed to do that today got sick. So if anybody's willing to do that, that'd be great. If not, we may not have 2- to 4-year-olds might have to stay in today. So if somebody can fill in that group today, that'd be great. Now, if you're doing it next week, you know, don't feel pressure to go back there. You know, if you're doing it next week or helping with the kids next week, you don't have to go out there because we know, you know, a lot of people like to come to church too. We don't want the same people doing kids church all the time. We need people to help fill in. So if somebody could fill in out there, that'd be great. And just let my wife know, she'll be out there. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. So again, if you're new, what we do here at Cowboy Church, first weekend of every month, is we like to take communion. And the reason we do it is because we want to start every month off on the right foot. And, you know, and plus it's an opportunity to honor God and what he means to us, you know, and honor, you know, Jesus, my Lord. You know, the man that was willing to come to the earth and give up everything, including his life, so that we may be made free. So that we may be made free. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is what Jesus did. Verse 1 and 2, that's what he did. Presented his body a living sacrifice. You know, he was a carpenter before he was a minister. And, you know, he could have stayed a carpenter. He could have said, you know what, they're really building a lot of homes around here. I think I'll just, you know, start me a business, call it Jesus Incorporated, LLC. We build you homes and we build them fast. Amen. I mean, wouldn't you like Jesus build your house, you know? So when do you expect the time, you know, when do you all plan on being finished with building my house? Probably tomorrow. We'll be finished with it tomorrow. How long does it take? One day. Don't take 3 months for him. He presented his body a living sacrifice. You know, proclaiming yourself as a Christian in itself is a sacrifice. We live in a fallen world where being a Christian isn't popular. Just saying that you're a Christian, not even going to church, not even the going to church part or the being a tither part, none of that. Just saying that you're a Christian is a sacrifice, because you know that the sacrifice is the persecution. There is a possibility that you could be persecuted for just saying that you're a Christian. You don't even have to tell them that you go to church. You don't have to tell them where you go to church. You don't have to tell them you're Pentecostal, Methodist, whatever, cowboy church guru. You don't have to say any of that. Just Jesus being who he was enough. Jesus just being who he was by laying hands on people, by proclaiming that there is a pathway to righteousness, by proclaiming that there is a way to heaven through him, that was enough to make them mad. Be holy, acceptable to God. Being holy is acceptable. And you can walk in holiness daily. You can be holy and without sin. Because you know why? Sin's a choice. Now, does that mean you're not going to sin? No. I had this conversation with a guy yesterday. It is possible to sin. Sin has always been a choice. It has never been mandatory. It has never been forced upon us by the devil. The devil's just offered suggestions, and we've just followed through. Sinning is a choice. But God says you can be holy. If it wasn't so, they wouldn't have put it in here. It is possible to walk in holiness, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. It's not unreasonable to say, hey, why don't you try to at least walk in holiness? All God is wanting us to do is to at least try to be good. That's all he's wanting us to do. He knows that sin is everywhere. It's in our newspapers, it's on our phones, it's on Facebook, it's on Pinterest, it's on your email, it's in the newspapers, it's in the magazines, it's on your television. Sin is accessible everywhere you look. The devil is really good at his job, at doing what he does. Really good. He talks to people in high places and in low places. But he said, it is your reasonable service to at least try to be holy. That's what we're doing here today. We're trying to start this month off on the right foot. Start with righteousness and holiness because of what he did for us. Be not conformed, be transformed. Now, if he didn't think of it, you know, we needed to be transformed, he wouldn't have wrote it. He knows. The author here is saying, you know, I know that we all live in a world where we fall, where sin is available. He said, but you have to transform. And what does transform mean? It means you change your mind. It means you go from being one thing to being another thing. That's what transformers are. We're transformers. Amen? You know, it wasn't Hollywood that thought of transformers. God already talked about transformers. We're transformers. Amen? Because we go from the old body, the old way of doing things, to the new way of doing things. We are transformed from the way of sin to the way of righteousness. Now, I ain't going to tell you that sin ain't fun, because it's fun. But the blessings from God flow in righteousness. He's not going to bless you in your wickedness. He's going to bless you in your righteousness. Be transformed so that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Yes, you can walk in perfection. You can. I don't care what you did yesterday. I don't care what you did in 2017. I don't care what you did yesterday. He says you can walk in the perfect will of God daily, which is what we do today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray. Father, we love you. You are worthy of honor. Let us be reminded daily of how to be good and how to walk in goodness and mercy and righteousness and to walk in holiness and the perfect will of God. Let us never forget where we came from, and let us always be bold in proclaiming that we are Christians. And we will not back down from any devil. We will not back down from angels that work for Satan himself. We will not back down from demons. Let our minds be transformed so that we may focus on what is the perfect will of God. We are Christians. Jesus, we love you for what you did for us. You're worthy of honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You may eat and drink. AJ, is you staying in? AJ, you going out or staying in? Okay. Thank you. In the words of Medea, since it is 2018, hallelujah. Come on, Ricky. Hallelujah. Brother Ricky, everybody knows Brother Ricky, the string teaser. He's going to bring the word today. Do it up, brother.
Are the kids staying in? Did you let them go?
Kids, get out of here. Would y'all get out of here? Kids and youth. Sorry. I just asked a question and I forgot.
That's all right.
We need help. Two to four-year-olds, if you can help, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
I started to go with the 2 and the 4-year-olds. Well, man, it's good to see y'all and be preaching this morning. I tell y'all, that music this morning just moved me. How about another hand for the band? Just, man. So blessed to get to play with people that are obedient and committed to the Lord. And man, you can feel the Holy Spirit. Being a musician, for those of you who aren't musicians, being a musician, man, there's times when I get ministered to just by the music. Man, it was moving this morning. Ooh, Jesus. Were y'all ready to get in the Word this morning? Well, you know, we've got a new year that started, 2018. And I'm not this way, but you hear a lot of people going, it's a new year. I'm making that resolution. 2017 was bad. It was terrible. Worst year I've ever had. So I'm going to try it again. People say, well, 2017 was good for me. So, man, I don't know if it can be any better than 2018. People say, I want to go on a diet. I'm going to lose weight. People say, I'm going to be healthier. And they do it to you even in the stores. I made the mistake yesterday of going to Costco with my wife at 3 in the afternoon on a Saturday. If y'all have never been to Costco at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, don't. There are crazy people in there. They scare me. But when I went in yesterday, when you come in, how many of you been to Costco before? Most of you in here. When you go in Costco, they always put up there at the front what they want you to buy. You know, they put those cool little gadgets and everything. Well, being that it's 2018, you're not going to believe what was up there. Vitamins. I kid you not, there was not one garden hose, there was not one speaker, there was not one karaoke machine. Vitamins. It's kind of like a lot of people do when the new year starts, is I'm going to change. I'm going to change. And it only lasts, I don't know, we probably all done it before. Man, I'm going on that diet and it lasts 2 weeks. I got that treadmill for Christmas and, well, it's still in the box at the end of the year. So the point of this all is that as Christians and believers, we've got to learn that every day is a new day. We don't have to wait until the end of the year and go, okay, I get to start over. This past was bad, so I get to start over. The Word says, in the Bible it says, don't worry about yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. We got enough things going on today. So my message today is we're going to talk about a guy in the Bible that we probably, most of us have heard the story. We're going to be in Genesis today. Y'all flip to Genesis 37. And his name is Joseph. Now, it's a neat story about Joseph, and it's about five or six chapters, but we're not going to cover them all. I told Howdy, he told me we're doing communion today, and I said, my sermon's only an hour and a half, so it'll be all right. Hope you brought snacks. No, I'm kidding. But Joseph, we're in 37, and I want to start on verse 3. But I need to explain something first, because I found this as I was studying this out this week. I found something that was not really confusing, but it was odd. Joseph's dad's name is Jacob, but also his name is Israel. So as we read this, at times it's going to talk about Jacob and it's going to talk about Israel. It's the same guy. What happened is Jacob, when he was born, Jacob means supplanter, supplanter, which means to trade places. That's what he was called because he stole his brother's birthright twice. But after he got straight with the Lord, they changed his name to Israel, okay, which means strive with God. So just so you'll know, I don't want you to get confused because, you know, as I was studying this out, I kept going, wait a minute. Keep changing his name. Why are they changing his name? So let's start in verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph, or Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. Verse 4, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it to his brethren and they hated him yet the more. Now, let's stop just for a minute because in the first place right here, it's talking about he was his dad's favorite. Now, you don't have to show me a hand, but if you were your mom or dad's favorite, that's a cool thing. I mean, you got brothers and sisters that don't like you very much because you're your parents' favorite. Okay? And my grandmother, my dad's mom, I was her favorite of the four grandkids. I could get away with anything. She was a big woman. And one day we were in the kitchen, I was a teenager, and me and her tried to go through the door together. It didn't happen. I told her, I said, Ma, we need to put flags on your hips that say wide load. She thought that was funny, and the other grandkids going, he didn't get in trouble. If we'd have said it, we'd have got in trouble. It was kind of like being God's kids, y'all. We're all the favorite, right? I want to be God's favorite. So his brothers and sisters are not too happy about this deal. You know, Jacob is favoring him over everybody else. So verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Here the dream is talking about that he was going to be a ruler. Okay, this is his dream. And he was, in his dream, he was going to be over his brothers. And the brothers did not like this at all. Verse 9, and he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Now, in my Bible, I have the Amplified over there too. And in the Amplified in verse 11, it says that his father observed the saying and pondered over it. So his father's kind of like, what's going on here? What does all this mean? And his brothers are even more ticked off. Okay, his brothers are really mad now. Excuse me. So much that starting in verse 12, he is not out in the field with his brothers. He's still at home with dad, and his brothers are out there, and they see him coming. His dad sends him to go out there and check on him. And his brothers go, man, let's kill him. I mean, gee, he really ticked off the brothers because they're wanting to kill him. And one of the brothers says, no, we can't have that on our hands. We can't be involved in that. So when he gets there, they capture him and put him in a well. And they said, we'll sell him. And that way, it won't be that we killed him, but we're going to sell him. Now, in the first place, y'all stop and think about that. Have you ever, somebody made you mad enough you wanted to throw him in a well? Or you wanted to kill him? Man. But these brothers are ticked off. That was a rhetorical question. You don't have to say that out loud. Your answers, y'all. I heard some of y'all going, no, please don't. But his brothers were so mad at him that they put him in the well, and some Ishmaelites, some Midianites came by, and they sold him in slavery. So once they did this, they took his clothes and they put blood on his clothes and they took it back to his dad to show him, to make his dad think that something happened to him. Man, dad, we found these clothes with blood. Jacob was all tore up, okay, because he had lost his favorite son, you know. And the brothers, they're all going, woo, we're happy because little brother, the favorite's gone, okay. They think that they're going to reap benefit because the brother's gone. Now, we're going to skip chapter 38 because it really doesn't, it's more about Judah than it is Joseph. We're going to move on to chapter 39. We'll start in verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down hither, or thither, excuse me. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and the master saw that the Lord was with him, that the Lord made all that he did prosper. Okay, so what's happening here is Joseph, who was born and his dad's favorite, God's still showing favoritism on him. Wherever he goes, you may think, well, wait a minute. He didn't have that much favor because his brothers threw him in a well. But you see, Joseph didn't handle being thrown in the well as a bad thing. He took it on the chin. He got sold. And then he sold again to Potiphar. But Potiphar recognizes that the Lord is with Joseph. You see, Joseph hadn't swayed and got out of being with the Lord. Joseph staying with the Lord, and the Lord's going, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. Everything you do, you're a slave to Potiphar. But yet, you're with right standing with God. You're righteous, just like we are. Jesus died so that we would be righteous. And you see, he stayed in right standing with God. Therefore, God's showing favor on him. Everything he does. So let's read on. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put his hand to. Verse 5, and it came to pass that from that time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. You see, he was doing what the Lord wanted him to do. No matter where he was at, he was staying with the Lord. As I researched this out, this is one time that when he was with Potiphar, Potiphar was not a believer. However, Potiphar recognized what God was blessing Joseph, that everything Joseph touched prospered. Potiphar says, I don't know. It's kind of like our walk, y'all. When we're out there doing stuff and people see us and see us prospering, they may not be believers, but they're going, I don't know, but I want some of what she's got. I want some of what he's got. You see, the way that Joseph is staying the course, Potiphar recognizes this, and he said, man, I want this guy. He's going to put him in charge of my stuff because everything he does prospers. The Lord is with him. And we always want to stay with our walk with the Lord, okay? Now, as we go on in this chapter, we're not going to read right here, but I'm going to tell you, the next verse takes an ugly turn. Potiphar's wife sees Joseph on a daily basis. He's in charge of all the house and all the servants and all the land. So he comes and goes all the time. And Potiphar's wife sees how good looking Joseph is. She starts hitting on Joseph. Well, I just put it in today's terms, y'all. Okay. Biblical, it gets a little hard to understand sometimes. And I do this for me, so I get it. So she starts hitting on Joseph. But Joseph is in right standing with the Lord, and he's got good morals and values, and he knows what he's not supposed to do. It's a sin. That's somebody else's wife, you see. But she keeps on day after day after day. And finally, he's had enough. And he runs out of the room one day, and she had part of his clothing, a garment, and she kept it. So she makes up this lie. And she tells the other servants and the guards, well, when her husband gets home, she tells him. She makes up this story. Said he was making fun of him and he had kind of hit on her instead of vice versa. So, if we look down in 39, let's pick up in verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was, y'all know, Lord was with Joseph. And he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight and of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now, if you'll notice, as two things have happened now to Joseph, right? First of all, he got thrown in the well, or the pit. They sold him. And they sold him again. Actually, this is the third thing. He got sold twice. Now he's got put in prison. And as I studied this out, and I want y'all to go home and read. Don't have to go home today, but while you're home this week, read the rest of this. Because there's going to be some places that we skip. I want you to read it. But there's not a place in here that Joseph complains and whines. He doesn't say, oh gosh, they sold me. Oh gosh, they sold me again. Oh gosh, I got put in prison. No. There's nowhere in the word that says he complained and whined and acted ugly, threw himself on the floor. Nowhere. Because God was with him, y'all. He was walking with the Lord, and he knew it. He knew God's presence was with him. Okay, so we're moving on. He got thrown into the prison in chapter 40. He gets charge over a couple of Pharaoh's chief people, the chief butler and the baker, head of the cooking the cookies. And, but here's, Joseph was in charge of them. And he could have been ugly and hateful and, you know, because I'm in charge. You know, and we know people like that are in charge, and they want to be bossy and they want to tell you what to do instead of say, hey, would you mind doing this? So we know how that we should act as Christians. No, Joseph loved on them. He said, man, it's all right. Well, these two guys have dreams. They both have dreams. And they said, we don't know what they mean. Joseph said, well, tell me about them. So the butler tells him his. And Joseph said, well, the Lord will interpret this for you. And so Joseph tells him what the Lord tells him. And it basically, in 3 days, you're going to be cut loose out of here. And you're going to go back and you're going to be in good standing with Pharaoh. And he tells the chief butler, he said, just remember me when all this happens. So then the baker tells him his dream. And Joseph interprets it. But the baker don't have a good ending. He winds up. So he wasn't too happy about that. So Joseph, once he's done these dreams, it comes to pass. The butler gets out, and he goes, and he's back in good graces with Pharaoh. So let's look in the let's look at verse 41, or chapter 41 now. Because here we've seen that Joseph has this dream, right? So y'all remember when we started back, Joseph had two dreams. So just keep those in the back of your head or on your paper. So let's look in verse 15, because Pharaoh's going to have a dream. 41:15. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And watch what Joseph says right here. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Now notice, here it is. Joseph is still walking with the Lord. Joseph doesn't take credit for a gift that God's given him. You see, Joseph's saying, no, this is not me that can do this. God will guide me, and I can tell you what the dream means. So he interprets the dream for Pharaoh. And basically what the dream is that there's going to be 7 years of feast. We know the story. 7 years of feast, 7 years of famine. But since Joseph is in such good standing with God, we know that God will give us wisdom, right? All we have to do is ask for it. He'll give it to us. So Joseph not only interprets the dream, but Joseph starts telling him how he can manage it, and it won't be a problem. Pharaoh's going, You see, Joseph tells him how to store the food. And then when the time comes and it gets bad and people need to eat, you sell the food. And Pharaoh's like, okay, that's pretty interesting. So let's flip over to verse 37. We're still in chapter 41. We're going to start in verse 37. And it says, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath shown there all this, there is none to discreet and wise as thou art. Now, hold on just a minute, because I want to read it to you in the Amplified, verse 39. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, for as much as your God, what? This God wasn't Pharaoh's God. Just like Potiphar, this was your God. He's talking about Joseph, has shown you all this. There is nobody as intelligent and discreet and understanding and wise as you are. So verse 40, and I'm still in the Amplified. You shall have charge over my house, and all my people shall be governed according to your word with reverence, submission, and obedience. Only in matters of the throne will I be greater than you are. And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Ooh, did that dream that he had just come to pass? Yeah, it did. And what's unique, what's neat to me about the deal is Joseph is such a strong believer. He's not wavered through the things he's been through. He's not given up. Like I said, he's not whined. He's not complained. He's not cried about how bad a situation it's been. And what happens? He gets the favor. He gets the favor. Here, Pharaoh says, you're God. Again, Joseph is going, I believe. And Pharaoh sees all the goodness that God's bestowed upon Joseph because Joseph believes. You see. So, in chapter 42 through 44, these two chapters, this is kind of we're not going to read them because, well, it would take too long. But in 42, 43, and 44, this is where Joseph recognizes his brothers. Jacob, Israel, when the famine hit, Jacob sends the boys to Egypt to buy food. And they come in, and Joseph sees them, and he recognizes his brothers. But they don't recognize Joseph. So in the Bible, I had to research this out because Joseph was hard on his brothers. And I thought, because all this time, he's not done anything. You know, he didn't go back and look for his brothers. And he's been put in charge of Egypt. So he could get guys and go back and kick their booty or whatever, you know, for what they did to him. But he didn't. But he's hard on his brothers. And what I found out by researching this out is that it said that Joseph was testing his brothers to see if they were still mean and hateful, like when they first put him in the well, you see. So what happens is when they came to buy food, he asked about his youngest brother, Benjamin, which wasn't with him. Benjamin had stayed home with Jacob. He said, no, don't you have a younger brother? And they go, yeah. He said, well, you go back and get him and bring him back. And they go, oh, no. So Joseph messes with them for a little bit, okay? Through three chapters, he messes with them. That's why I said, y'all read this, because it's good. But we're getting to the point of my message this morning. So let's flip over to 45 now, chapter 45. And we're going to start in verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brothers, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Cause all of a sudden they said, whoa, this is the brother we threw in the well and we sold. And oh, Lord, I hope he's not ticked off. Because they're scared now. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold in Egypt. He's like they could forget that they sold him. He reminds them, hey, y'all sold me. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. You see, so what he went through, he's looking at, it was a blessing. That's how strong his faith was, y'all. That he goes through everything he's went through and it's a blessing. That, man, God sent me before y'all. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. He hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Man, y'all, if we can get a hold of the faith that Joseph had here, through those years, he's about 30 years old when this happened. He was 17 years old when he got sold. For about 13 years. Can you imagine? So I've got four things that I want to take out of this. Number one. Oh, by the way, I didn't even title this message. It's called Watch Your Story. I'm sorry about that. I forgot. I was just excited about the word this morning. You see, don't quit on your dreams, number one. It's the new year. But like I said, we don't have to wait to the new year to have a dream. I know that there's people here this morning that have had dreams that after a year, 2 years, you're done. He said, man, it just doesn't work. I'm encouraging you today to get fired up about that old dream. I tell you what, it's time, y'all. And as long as we include God in it, we can have the favor of Joseph that Joseph saw in this. Y'all flip to John 16. Verse 33, and this is Jesus talking here. It says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace in the world. Ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Who does that sound like? Be of good cheer. That was Joseph. Man, he went through all that crud, but he never was down. He never gave up. I have overcome the world. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Man, he's overcome the world, y'all, for us. And we have the favor. We've got to have faith in these times, y'all. Flip over to Proverbs 16. There's a few verses that, man, we just got to look at. Proverbs 16. Verse 3. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified because I really like how the Amplified breaks it out. Verse 3. Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will. And so shall your plans be established and succeed. So those of you who have dreams that you've quit on, get them fired back up. Dadgum. Come on, y'all. And I'll tell you something else, because this is a thought. I think about things all the time. And I think about people, young or old, who don't have dreams. What do you do? I mean, why are you getting out of bed then? Honestly. What's the reason to get out of bed? I'm going to go make a paycheck? That's my reason, is to get out of bed so I can go get paid. No, no, no. I don't care how young or old you are. If you don't have a dream, find one. Y'all, God's our reason to live so that we can get other people into the kingdom of God. And it says right here, we just read it, commit it wholly to the Lord, and it will succeed. But what's the use of, honestly, why get out of bed? If you don't have a dream, that's no good. Man, get fired up about something again. You hear me? I don't care if you're 20 years old or you're 95. Thank you. The Holy Spirit just reminded me of something. I saw the other day on the news, the man's 95 years old. And he's got one of those, y'all seen those bicycles that's got the two wheels on the back? It's an adult-like tricycle, but it's got a basket in there. And this man, he's 95, he's riding his bicycle 2 or 3 miles from his house to an elementary school, and he gets his books out, and he goes in and he reads to first and second graders. Oh, Jesus, that man's got a heart for kids, and he's got a dream. He's not just laying in bed, he's 95. Come on, some of us at 40, 50, old, little older, 50, like me. Man, I see people all the time, and they, I just go to work. Or if you're in Branson, Missouri, and you're a musician, and those guys up there drive me nuts. Because you go, hey, man, how are you today? Oh, just living the dream. If I heard that one more time up there, go get a new dream. Leave. They were so, oh, it's the same old thing every day. Dude, get out of here then. Why are you taking their money? You're so blessed. I know people digging ditches in minus 10 degree weather. They're shoveling snow up north right now, y'all. But these guys are whining because they got to go play music. Because somebody, man, we got to get a dream. You got to have a real dream. Number two, man, if you do this and you stay in the will of God, there's favor for us, y'all. Flip over to Psalms 5. Psalms 5, verse 12. It says, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield." Woo! Now, in the Amplified, it's really good. It really breaks it out. "For you, Lord, will bless the uncompromisingly righteous." That's us, y'all. We're righteous. "Him who is upright in right standing with you." And in my Bible, in the Amplified, use capitalized, which means that's the Lord. "As with a shield, y'all, you, the Lord, will surround him with a good will, pleasure, and favor." Man, we're the righteous. He's going to put his, it's like putting his arms around us, y'all. That shield of favor. I don't know about y'all, but I like favor. Y'all like favor? Somebody ought to say amen to that. Come on. My goodness. If we're in right standing, and we are, we're made righteous. Number three, don't seek revenge. Don't seek revenge. Flip to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So y'all, right here, it tells us, and we're, man, people do stupid things. I mean, you know, they cut you off while you're driving, you know. Or you got family members that do dumb things that make you mad. They do bad things to you. Or you hear somebody's been talking about you. Oh, man, and you just want to do something to them. You know, I thought about this. Sometimes some of you may want to say, "God, I wish you'd just strike them down right now." Man, we don't want God to handle things the way we would, y'all. You know it? Because that probably wouldn't turn out too well. I'm telling y'all. Don't seek revenge. Because in Romans 12, it talks about vengeance is the Lord's. You see, God takes care of that. That's his job. So you see, when people are talking about you, when people are treating you bad, hey, let it go. Get over it. It's okay. Yeah, it's not fun. I agree. We could sit around and talk for days about how people have done us wrong, you know. I mean, boy, it could be a real pity party. People have just mistreated us, but don't let it. It steals your joy. We have the joy of the Lord, y'all. Let it go. Man, we've got to get a hold of it. It's not our job to take care of something. Now, there's one thing for standing up for your family and taking care of your family. Two different things, okay? But you're not to seek revenge. Romans 12:19, you can write that down. That's where that's at. He says the vengeance is his. The last thing, and I'm closing. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Flip to Matthew 4. I'm sorry, Matthew 5. I can't read my own writing. They tell me I should have been a doctor the way I write. Matthew 5, verse 16. It says, let your light shine, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hey, y'all. This is what Joseph did. You see, through it all, through all the muck and the mud and the pit and being sold. And I mean, you stop and think. Y'all think you have problems. Look what this guy went through. Hey, my goodness. But what did he do the whole time that he was going through this? He let his light shine. You see, the light of Jesus. That's our light, y'all. Jesus is our light. Man, we should be letting it shine all the time. All the time. Wherever you're at. Stand in line at Costco. People go, man, look at that guy. He's so calm. Man, I'm standing there. 6 years ago, I wouldn't have been standing there, but now I am. And I can stand there and smile now. Let your light shine, y'all. And for those of you who haven't got to know Jesus yet, that you can let your light shine, never do a service without giving you an opportunity to know Jesus as your Savior. So right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I have a question for you. If you left this earth today, do you know where you're going? Because there is two places. One's hell, one's heaven. Man, I don't want you to go to hell. It's a hot place. But man, there is a choice. And if you don't really know if you're saved or not, I'm going to tell you real quick. I told this last time I preached, and I found out that a lady after the service came up and she told me, I just gave my life to the Lord because I was like you. I didn't understand. When I was 25 years old, we were getting our youngest daughter baptized. And they asked me if I was saved, and I said, well, I believe in Jesus and God. And they said, well, no, have you ever accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And I said, well, no, I don't guess. I just thought that's... They said, well, no, you have to accept it. So I accepted Jesus that day. But the story of this, folks, is that I played in that church from the time I was in high school till I was 25. I played in the orchestra at this Methodist church. And not once in those 6 or 7 years did they give anybody an opportunity to accept Jesus as their Savior. And yet now they're asking me, have I accepted Jesus as my Savior? I didn't know you had to because y'all didn't tell me. You see, I don't want anybody to be like I was, where I didn't understand that I have to confess it with my mouth. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never accepted Jesus, I want you to do it today. Man, I beg you to do it today. And we're not going to ask you to come up here and embarrass you. We're just going to have you pray a prayer right where you're at. But we're going to have the believers to pray it with you. Believers, y'all know this prayer. So right now, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, I want you to right now. I want you to repeat after me. Father in heaven, I ask you to come into my heart and save me. I believe you died for me and you rose from the dead. Father, I thank you that today is my God day, and that my name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, in Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're not going to ask you to come up to the front, but the Word says never be afraid to confess Jesus before man. So what I'm going to ask you to do right now is, on the count of three, is just raise your hand, and then you put it right back down. We want to get you a Bible. So with every bit of boldness, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. If you just accepted Jesus today for the first time as your Lord and Savior, 1, 2, 3, go. Anybody? Be bold. Okay, everybody look here. Hey, that's a good thing, man. That means we're all going to heaven. Amen? Well, thank y'all for letting me preach this morning. I thoroughly enjoyed it.